You are listening to BensTorah.com.
If you look at the end of Zos HaBracha, you find that the Torah tells us in Pasuk Hey, towards the end, Vayomosha Moshe Eved Hashem Be'eretz Moav Api Hashem. The Moshe Eved Hashem died in that specific location. Vayikboso Begai Be'eretz Moav Mul Beis Ba'ar. The Rabban Hashem served as Moshe's personal Chever Kadisha. He buried Moshe in a place nobody has ever been able to find or discover or to pinpoint his Kever to this very day. Moshe ben Mayav Esmashon ben Moshe, he was 120 years old when he passed away. Lakasa Einov Lenachlecha, Hashem gave him tremendous kochos, in physical kochos, in his eyesight and his physical stamina, to the last day of his life. Vayivchu b'nei Yisrael esmoshel arvas moav shloshim yom. Klal Yisrael mourned for him for 30 days. Vayitmu yimei b'chi evel Moshe. V'yeshua b'nun molei ruach chachma ki somach Moshe siyod olav. The malimokim of Moshe now was Yeshua b'nun, who was filled with smichus yadayim of Moshe Rabbeinu. That he should now be the one to take Moshe's place in disseminating the Chacham of Torah. He should take on the leadership of Klal Yisrael. Yishmael b'nei Yisrael v'yasuk ha-shativa Hashem es Moshe. Klal Yisrael listened to Yeshua the same way they listened to Moshe Rabbeinu and accepted his leadership. And then the Torah gives a hesped on Moshe Rabbeinu. Lo kam navi ol b'yisrael k'moshe sheyodu Hashem panim upon him. There was never a navi before or after Moshe that ever reached Moshe's level of nevuah, of being able to deal with Hashem face to face, whatever that means on a metaphoric level. When it comes to all the signs and the wondrous miracles he performed that Hashem sent him to perform in Eretz Mitzrayim, la power relating to power, la chol avodah of his servants, la chol arzo, la chol hayad hachazaka, the tremendous strong hand of Moshe Rabbeinu that was given to him by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'chol ha'moira ha'gadol asher osa Moshe le'niko Yisrael, all the tremendous concepts of fear and reverence and tremendous trepidation that Klal Yisrael had in many respects for Moshe Rabbeinu representing Hashem Shechin in this world. He had that spiritual halo around his head, which later on artists depicted in different ways, but the idea is he had a certain sheen of Ziv HaShechina that accompanied him the rest of his life. And all of this was done in the eyesight, in the presence of Klal Yisrael for over 40 years, etc., etc. So the million-dollar question that everybody asks on this specific Gemara, which we're going to get into the Gemara, is who wrote the last eight psukim contained in the Chumash? Who wrote the last eight psukim? So you say to me, Rabbi, what difference does it make? Somebody wrote it. What do I care? Moshe wrote it, somebody else wrote it. So let me show you in the Mar Mekamas. I want you to turn in the Makaris you have to the page that says Mesechtes Menachos. You see, it's a Sefer Menachos. Daf Lamed?
Yeah.
Yeah? Do you have it? Daf Lamed?
Page 2.
Okay, now. The Gemara, in the underlined lines that I underlined for you, brings down the following. Omar Rav Yeshua Ba'aba, Omar Rav Gidl, Omar Rav, Shmona Psukim Shebetorah. The minhag in Klal Yisrael is the last eight psukim contained in the Torah, yochid kara osam bebeis haKnesses, are not subdivided amongst multiple people, three psukim or five or four and four. One person gets the cover of finishing those eight psukim together when it comes to their aliyah. Now, kaman, to who does this accord to? The law of Rav Shimon. Initially, the Gemara says it can't follow the opinion of Rav Shimon, as the Brice is going to explain what Rav Shimon held, in contrast to other Tanoim You'll hear what the initial supposition is. It's later on, it's rejected, but listen to the initial supposition. Tisanya vayomas shamosha ever Hashem. He starts quoting the psukim I just read. So the question posed in the Braisa, Efsha Moshe Chai, is it possible that Moshe was still alive? Ukasav, and he wrote in the Torah, Vayomas Shamoshe. So quite obviously, the Gemara is concerned about Sheker V'Emes. If Moshe is writing these last say psukim, how in the world could he justify in his own mind, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bechod Be'atzmo, since Moshe Emes, V'Torasa Emes, Hashem's Emes, Chasam Emes, how could they write that Moshe died and Moshe is still alive writing these psukim? So what must you say? El ad kan kasav Moshe, up until the last eight psukim Moshe was writing, as we're soon going to see. Mikan ve'elach, the last eight psukim, who penned them? Kasav Yeshua ben Nun. It was Yeshua ben Nun who finished off writing the last eight psukim of the Torah. This is either the opinion of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, and some say it could be the Tana Rabbi Nechemiah. So according to this Mahalach of either Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Nechemiah, they're of the opinion that there's no Sheker, there's no Chazav. Why? Because Moshe never wrote the last eight psukim. When he died, he died. Ah, there are eight psukim missing from the Torah. Who wrote those last eight psukim? His Malim Mokam Yeshua, he wrote the last eight psukim. So if that's the case, it takes away the problem of the Emes problem. Now we come to the Halakha of Rav Shimon. Amalar Rav Shimon, and this is usually Rav Shimon ben Yochai, the great Mekubal, he says, Efsha Sefer Torah Chasa Ois Achas, is it possible that Moshe gave over to Klal Yisrael? Now we know for a fact that Moshe at the end of his life wrote at least one full Sefer Torah, and according to the Kabbalah we have, he actually penned 12 Sefer Torah before he passed away, based upon other Gemaras, other Midrashim. But the fact is, when Moshe finished writing what he wrote, it says in the Torah, Lekoach es Sefer HaTorah Hazeh, v'samta noso. Moshe told the Levim, the Kohanim, when he finishes writing the Torah, I want you to take this Torah and place it either in the Aron HaKodesh or right outside the Aron HaKodesh. When we were learning Masechtas Baba Basra in the Daf Yomi group, Rabbi Isai, in your various Daf Yomis, you should have come across the Gemara has a debate in Masechtas Baba Basra. Was the Aron big enough to contain the actual first Sefer Torah written by Moshe Rabbeinu besides the Luchos? Or no? The Aron contained the Luchos, but outside the Aron there was a ledge upon which the Sefer Torah was placed. But no question, Moshe said to the Levim, to the Kohanim, place this Sefer either in or adjacent to the Aron. So says Rav Shimon, if it says such a verse in the Torah, L'kolach ha-Sefer Torah ze-v'santim oso, what does that imply? The Moshe gave them a completed Sefer, not missing any psukim, including the last eight. So quite obviously, Rabbi Shimon saying to Rabbi Huda and or Rabbi Hananya, Rabbi Nechemi, a simple question. He said, I don't understand, with all due respect, gentlemen, your approach, Yeshua wrote the last eight psukim. If that's the case, Moshe did not give them a full sefer. It was missing eight psukim. If it's missing eight psukim, how can you call it a sefer? So therefore, I am rejecting categorically your mahalach. So now the question is, Chazak Kasha L'Duchta, if he's rejecting what they said, what is the implication? That he is going to basically claim, what? He's going to basically claim the following statement. And that is, even the last eight psukim were penned by who? By Moshe Rabbeinu. But then the Kasha comes back. How can Moshe write, I die, if he's still alive? And number two, one of the biggest attributes of Moshe was his anifus, his humility. You mean to say that Moshe, in his humility, was able to write without any difficulty whatsoever the last two, three psukim of the Chumash, talking about how great he was in comparison to all the other prophets that preceded him, succeeded him. You mean to say Moshe wrote without a problem, or come novi obi yisur kamosha ashiyad upon him, l'chol osis ha-mobsim, l'yad ha-chazaka. You mean Moshe was able to write that without a problem? Moshe, anav miyod, l'chol ba-adam. So besides a sheker problem, that he wrote them, he didn't die, and it says he died, how could Moshe have written such accolades about himself without feeling very uncomfortable? Let's just listen to it. Okay, now, what that means, you're going to see very shortly, is not what you think it means. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Ella, what's the answer? What's Rav Shimon's answer to his other Tanayim? Ella ad kana kadosh baruch hu omer, Moshe kosev omer, or somehow the gear of Moshe omer kosev, I'll discuss that in a minute. Mikan ve'elach hakadosh baruch hu omer, u'moshe kosev b'dema. So he says the difference between all the psukim of the Torah, except for the last eight, is how Moshe functioned as the Rabbanu Shalom's legal secretary and legal scribe. Now, I have to give you a little background material for you to appreciate this. There is a Gemara in Masechtis Gittin, Daf Samach, where the Gemara talks about how did Moshe write the Torah. One thing is for sure, and the Ramban says this in his introduction to the Chumash and his Hakdama to the Chamisha Chumash Torah, that every word of the Torah, from the beginning of Bereishis to Le'ena B'nai Yisrael, all of those words ultimately were divinely dictated by Hashem and written down by whoever wrote them down, following Hashem's divine dictation. There's not one word in the Torah, even words that were articulated by Moshe himself when he was still alive, that when they were quoted in the text of the Torah that Moshe wrote because he remembered what he said. Gemara says, Hashem Omer, Moshe Omer v'kosev, Moshe kosev Omer, which means Moshe heard what Hashem dictated. He then either repeated it and committed it to writing, or he committed it to writing and then repeated it. But one thing is for sure, there's no word in the Torah Moshe wrote, even his own statements, without Hashem telling him, this is the authorized divine word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, for some reason, everything to the last eight psukim, Moshe repeated and wrote it down. The last eight psukim, he was kosev b'dema, so as was mentioned by our distinguished member who came a couple of minutes late, the normal interpretation of dema is, he wrote it with tears. But there's one major problem. You can't write a Sefer Torah in tears. You gotta write it in a special type of ink. For those who are daf yominik, is how much time the Gemara spent in Menachos when we're learning the sugyas of Sefer Torah, mezuzah, and tefillin, what type of ink, and how the ink is made, and such. So you can't write a Sefer Torah that has halachic validity, and can be called a Sefer, in tears. That's why I'm gonna give you another shot of Dema very shortly. But one thing is for sure, the last eight psukim were written by Moshe, but he never repeated them orally. He committed it to writing, divine dictation, but never ever said them out loud. The rest of the Torah, he committed to writing by divine dictation, but he in fact said it out loud as well when he came to writing those psukim. Now, I haven't finished the Gemara yet. The Gemara now continues. The Gemara says, K'mo shenemar, Vayomalem Baruch, this is Baruch ben Aria, who is the scribe of Yirmiyah Hanavi. This is Mipi Yakar Elias called Varma Eila. Whether he was writing Sefer Eicha or some other type of Sefer, Baruch says that Yirmiyah the Navi quoted to me, dictated me words to write down, and I committed them to writing. Case of our Sefer Bidio, you notice? I wrote it in the Sefer with ink. He wasn't writing in tears. Now, so quite obviously, if you bring a raya of dictation of a Navi to a scribe, and you're saying that he wrote in ink, you can bet your boots that when Moshe wrote down those psukim, he also wrote it bidio. So what does dema mean? Well, I'll get back to that. Shall we say the lo k'rav Shimon, that halach lamasa, that if this is Rav Shimon's approach, that therefore halach lamasa Moshe wrote all the Torah, including the last eight psukim, if that's the case, why should they be different than any other psukim of the beginning of the Torah, up until the last eight? Why can't you divide amongst multiple people? He'll get 4 and 4, or 3 and 5. So that might mean that the previous statement, as the Gemara said initially, is not like Rav Shimon. So the Gemara says, now, afilu temer Rav Shimon, hoyel vishtani vishtani. Since the last eight psukim were not set over by Moshe, when Hashem dictated them like the rest of the Torah, he just wrote it down based upon divine dictation, it's different than the rest of the Torah, and therefore only one person can have those eight psukim, you can't divide them multiple people, case closed. Now, the obvious problem is with Rabbi Yehuda and of Nehemiah, the Sheker question we were able to answer. The ability to not have Moshe have to write the accolades of his Hesped, divine Hesped, he wasn't around, Yeshua wrote, no problem. But according to the Shimon that he wrote everything, you still have the two major problems. How can he say Vayomas Moshe if he wrote it? Even though he didn't repeat it, but it's Sheker. And number two, how could he emotionally deal with writing psukim, how great this man was? Well, come Moshe, if you say he's Adam Michal Adam, it seems to be counterintuitive that he would be willing and desirous to write this about himself and to be known that he wrote this about himself before he gave the Sefer over. You know, imagine somebody writing their incredible eulogy. There's nobody as great as me that ever existed. And he's a Gadol Hadar, and he penned it, and told people when, quite obviously, future generations, just say over the Hesped the way I wrote it, with all the accolades. There's a problem. And the only Gadol, I will tell you, that has answered these problems, and given a new dimension to this Gemara, and even given a new Pshat to Dema, the most famous Pshat, which I'm going to share with you tonight, is that of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon said something over here that is ingenious, that will answer all the questions I posed, and at the end of the day, he is going to bring this sugya into the realm of what we call the concept of Eilu ve'Eilu Divrei Pinchayim, that at the end, even Rabbi Yehuda, and over here, Chemi or Rav Hanina, at the end really doesn't disagree with Rabbi Shimon, but they're talking about two different phenomena. And let me tell you his pshat. So listen very carefully. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael now coming into the real deep Kabbalistic pshat of tonight's sugya. This is the Vilna Gaon, not me. So I give him all the credit. It's all his. But I'm going to tell you what he says. But in order to appreciate what he says, I have to start with going with the Ramban and his Hagdamah to the Chumash again. The Ramban tells us, we have a famous Maimer Chazal, Hashem was mistakel b'arais or b'ara alma. It's a medrash. Hashem looked in the Torah as a blueprint, and based upon the divine blueprint, which pre-existed the world by a couple of thousand years, Hashem used that blueprint to create the universe in which we live. Mistakel b'arais or b'ara alma. If you want to know how powerful that Maimon Chazal is, and how seriously the Gedolei HaRishonim took that Maimon Chazal, there's a Rabbeinu Bachya ben Usher, who is a Talmud of the Ramban. The Talmud of the Ramban was the Rashba. The Talmud of the Rashba was Rabbeinu Bachya ben Usher, the famous Rabbeinu Bachaya in his Perush L'Chumash. And what he says is, if Mistakel Baraisa Bara Alma, it means there is a connection between the spiritual universe of the prehistoric Torah that pre-existed the world, and the physical universe that was created from its blueprint. Now, what does that mean? So he coins an expression, a Talmudic expression. He the doctor, or as adults involved in reality. He says, Hadvarim Hativium Bidimyon Hadvarim Hasichlia. The world of natural law is harmonious with the world of the spiritual roots it was created from and modeled after, which means there is a symmetry between the physical universe and the spiritual universe. One was created from the other. And he gives various demonstrations of this in his Perush to Sefer Shmos, which I'm not going to get into at this moment in time. But one thing is for sure, there existed a prehistoric Torah that was used as the blueprint of this world. So the million-dollar question tonight, the second million-dollar question, is what was written in that prehistoric Torah? If you say the prehistoric Torah was the same nusach of the Torah we have today, the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, we got a major problem on our hands. And that major problem is, if the narrative is the way the narrative is, the way we read it on each and every Shabbos, where is the Bechiris Chavshis of all the personalities mentioned in the Chumash from beginning to end? If there was a divine script that Adam and Chava had to sin with the Heitz Adas HaTeva Ra, and just go down the list, or Cain had to kill Hevel, and what happened with Noach, and what happened with the Dar HaMabel, and what happened later on with the Dar of Migdal Bavel, and all the other manipulations taking place, if all the narratives of the Chumash, including the Maragim and such, pre-existed Brias Olam on an old divine text of the Torah, where is Bechiras Chafish? Where is free will? Your whole, you know, it's like a person who wrote the Havdal play, and the actors told them, this is the Nusach you gotta say. That can't be. That can't be. So therefore, says the Ramban, and he was the Mekubal, that the prehistoric Torah had one similarity to the Chumash we have today, and one similarity only, which I'm going to describe to you, but otherwise it was totally different. And let me explain to you what I mean. This is mind-blowing. But the Ramban who says it as a Mekubal, the Gaon builds upon it in his Perush to this Gemara. He says, when the Ribbono Shalom, who could obviously has the powers of Rishus Nesuna giving us free will, nevertheless the Mishnah says, HaKal Tzofui, says he's not bound by time, can see what's going to happen in the future, and can see decisions people are going to make. His knowledge of that is not Mechayiv, you have to make those decisions. HaRishus Nesuna, but nevertheless HaKal Tzofui. It's a Mishnah of Pirkei Avos, and it's one of the ironies that we can't understand. But nevertheless, the Ribbono Shalom, we don't have to understand the Ribbono Shalom. He's able to perceive the future events, even though it haven't happened yet. So HaKal Tzofui, but it's just Nesuna. But what people did in this world from Adam on was totally Bechiris Chavshis. There was no script they had to follow. Now, with that in mind, he says the following. When Moshe went up to Har Sinai to Mekabel the Torah, the Ribbono Shalom said to him, I want to show you, Moshe, the prehistoric Torah that existed Briyat Olam. I'm going to show it to you. I'm not going to show it to anybody else. But I want to show you that Torah. And as Moshe was shown, which later on we're going to call now the Torah Nister, he showed him a text of the Torah that each couple of letters spelled names and attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The way it was read, it was an Eish Shechara Agabi Eish Levana, so it wasn't even a physical material, it was like a metaphysical material. It was black, fiery ink, superinscribed upon a backdrop of white, fiery paper, so it wasn't substantive. But he showed him, this is the prehistoric Torah before a physical universe came into existence, and it was full of Shemas Hashem from the beginning to the end. That's number one. Number two, the Ribbono Shel worked out the text of that Torah in such a way that every letter in that prehistoric Torah has every letter of the Chamishei Chumshei Torah we have in our Torah, which we read today, which henceforth I'm going to call Torah Snigla. the Rabbeinu Shalom orchestrated that the text of the Torah, starting from Bereishis, ending to Le'ena B'nai Yisrael, can in fact be read two ways, even if the letters are in the same exact sequence, but where you put the end of the word makes a difference of exactly how the word is read. And what he showed Moshe Rabbeinu is that this prehistoric Torah that was initially Shemus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, names of God, when I'm going to give you the Torah to write down, and either Moshe wrote it piecemeal, Hashem dictated, as the Gemara says, and Moshe basically, according to Ramban, each and every chapter that was quoted to him, Hashem dictated it. He says, look in the Koras Nista Sefer, so you'll be able to see the Osios. But I'm giving you a different way of sequencing the letters. So the text that you're going to be writing is not the Torah Sanista, but it's going to be the Torah Sanigil, which is the Chumash we have today. And Torah Megillah Megillah now, piecemeal it was written that way, from the beginning of the Torah all the way to the end of the Torah. But Hashem showed him that the same way you can read the Torah based upon a Torah Hanigla text, there's a way of reading the Torah with the Torah Sanista text with the same exact osios, but the text has nothing to do with the historical narratives of the Chumash or the mitzvahs of the Chumash or anything contained in the Chumash in the way our narrative is written. They're all Shemos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are the nouns, adjectives, but has nothing to do with the biblical narrative we read today. Now, the only way God could do that, if I go back to the Maamar Chazal, HaKol Tzofi Varshus Nesuna. If he knew what the ultimate decisions were going to be made by people by free will later on, God then had the ability, therefore, to orchestrate a Torah using his divine knowledge of the future to write the Torah with the divine letters of his name, which later on are going to be then subdivided according to the text of the Torah Snigla, even though initially they spelled out the Torah Sanista of Shemes Hashem. It's only Hashem has the ability, because of that Koyach HaKalt Sofer, Rosh Hashanah, that you can do that. Human beings cannot do that, if you hear what I'm saying to you. Now, with that in mind, you therefore see that the Torah itself therefore has, at the end of the day, two ways of being read. The Torah Snigla way we read it, the Torah Snista way that it pre-existed Briat Olam. Now, why did you have to have the Torah with Shemus Hashem? What does it mean, Staka Baraisa Bara Alma? Because there's another Pasek Chazal quote in the Medrash, which Rashi quotes in Chumash, and that is the Pasek, Ki Bako Hashem Tzur Olam. Hashem created the world with Shemus Hashem, Yudke. You remember that Medrash? Ki Bako Hashem Tzur Olamim? Which means the names of Hashem, adjectives and nouns, are divine power sources created by the Rabbeinu Shalom to be the mechanism with which to bring the physical universe into existence. Later on, there's a Sefer called Sefer Yetzira that we have today that supposedly was given to Adam Rishon to show him the Tzira of Osios of the Shemus Hashem of that prehistoric Torah, how they were realigned in such a way to be able to create things. If you are Daf Yomi Nikas, Rabbi Isai, how many times the Gemara says certain Tanoim Amorayim had copies of the Sefer Yetzirah, and they used to create creatures, animals and other things, using the power of the Shemus Hashem created in the Sefer to be able to use it for creativity on a human level, the same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu used it for creativity on a divine level. I'm not going to get into that now, but I'm just mentioning you, anybody's ever learned Daf Yomi and gone through Shas knows the Sefer Yetzirah was a popular Sefer. But the Sefer Yetzirah was a demonstration how you use the Shemus Hashem contained in the Chumash for the creative powers of Briat Olam. Now,
you are listening to
with this in mind, comes along the Vilna Gaon with the following statement. He says, from the beginning of the Torah all the way to the last eight psukim, Hashem Omer Umosha Omer Vakosef Omer, what does that mean? The Moshe wrote the text of the Torah in the Torah Snigla that we have it today. What does Arma mean? Not only he wrote it down, but he told over Klal Yisrael the text of that Torah. He taught that text to Klal Yisrael. So Moshe revealed to them the Torah Hanigla, not only in how it's written and how the letters are apportioned, but how to read it properly. Not only the truck, but how you pronounce the words. You know, the whole problem we have when it comes to whether it's Zecha or when it comes to the Maisa of Amalek, different, you know. In fact, there was a general, if you remember the story in the Gemara, that did not kill off all the Amalekim because he was taught to read, you only kill the Zecharim of Amalek, not Zecha Amalek. And because of the fact his Rebbe wasn't a doctor to teach him properly how to read it, and you almost had him being killed by the Melech for insubordination because he didn't give over the proper Messiahs how to read. So therefore Moshe, for all of the Torah until the last eight psukim, was dictated by Hashem how you write the Torah Senigla, how you pronounce the Torah Senigla, Moshe Kosev Omer, and that went up to the last eight psukim. When Moshe was about to die, Hashem could not have Moshe write the narrative you have written in the Torah Senigla. It's Sheker. And Moshe Emes, the Taras Emes, Hashem's Chosimaz Emes. He would not have Moshe write a eulogy upon himself to perpetuate L'chol HaDaros. So in the last eight psukim, you know what he told Moshe to do? I want you to write the last eight psukim according to the Taras Nist I showed you in Har Sinai. So all the osios of the last eight psukim were contained in the last eight psukim of the Torah, but not the way we have it today in Teres Nigla, but the way it was Teres Nista before Briyat Olam. So Moshe never knew what the last eight psukim said. In his mind, they were Shemus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nouns or adjectives.
The same letters, just
same letters, but they were written in such a way, Shemus Hashem. Now it's difficult for us to understand because we know the text of the Torah, but Moshe didn't know the last eight psukim's text of the Torah. So, and he wasn't in a descrambling mood at that point in time. So if that's the case, he only saw Shemus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, what does that accomplish? Number one is, Moshe did not write any Sheker of Ayamas. He wrote Shemus Hashem. Number two is, he never wrote his eulogy. He wrote Shemus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What happened? He gave a whole sefer, because all the oses of the Torah were there from the beginning to the end. It's just the last eight psukim were written in the Nistah rather than Nigla form. So it could say in the Torah, L'kolach es seifa hazeh, because all the osos were there. In fact, I want to tell you a little secret the Ramban says. The Ramban says, why are we so makbid if a letter is missing even though you pronounce the word properly? Why do we go crazy? Well, there's an added letter. You know why? Because even though the Torah's Nigla might be preserved by an additional or missing letter if you read it properly, if you write it incorrectly, you know what you should be mekalkel? The Torah Snista of Shemus Hashem. You're writing God's name or attributes improperly by adding a letter or deleting a letter. That's what the Ramban says, passes the Sefer Torah on the Daraisa level. Because you perverted the Torah Snista, not the Torah Snigla, if you hear what I'm saying to you. So if that's the case, the Gaon says that you now have the following resolution to bring Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Hanina and Rabbi Shimon together. All of the Torah up until the last eight psukim, as everybody agrees to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Omer Moshe Kosev Omer. Everybody agrees to that. In the last eight psukim, what the Gemara reveals to us, and this is Elu Ve'elu, is that Moshe ultimately had to write the last eight psukim in order to give a full-fledged sefer over, as it says in the Torah. Okay? But what he did was, he only wrote it over the way Hashem dictated to him in the Nister form. Shemus Hashem had no clue what he was writing in the Nigla. After Moshe died, Hashem called Yeshua, you're now my Navi, Moshe's no longer here, we're now going to rewrite these last eight psukim, but it's going to be Taras Nigla now, not Taras Nista, because I don't want Klal Yisrael to see the Taras Nista. They're not on the darga to see the Taras Nista. So therefore, at the end, it said that Yeshua rewrote the last eight psukim, which is the sheet of who? Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Hanina, was ultimately true. But Moshe also wrote the last eight psukim, but he wrote the Taras Nista, and Yeshua completed it, but Teres Nigla. So the last eight psukim are very different. Because those last eight psukim, if you think about, were really written down two different ways. one representing Teres Hanigla, but one representing Teres Hanista, Shemas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're very special eight psukim. None of the rest of the Torah was written down up until that point with the Teres Hanista, only Teres Nigla. So those last eight psukim represent who? The Rabbeinu Shalom Bechvod Deviatzma, because the Shemas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the Ramah quotes in Hilchas Simchas Torah Amenig is that you mechabed chasen Torah to a person who's a big Talmud Chacham in the Torah, because what you're doing is you're representing the Rabbeinu Shalom and Moshe Rabbeinu on those last eight psukim. Those last eight psukim were written on a higher level initially than the rest of Kol HaTorah Kula that was never written in the Teres Nista form, only a Teres Nigla form. That's why you can't divide it. They're separate, unique, and distinct. And in fact, the Rambam's of the opinion, and this is I'm not going to get into that tonight, do you even have to have a minyan when you have the reading of the last eight psukim? In the rest of the Torah, up into the last eight psukim, I told you Moshe Kosev Ovi means Moshe wrote it and taught it to Klal Yisrael. So there had to be a din of a tzibur, 10 Jews, to hear the rest of the Torah. The last eight psukim Moshe only wrote, never taught. So there was never a tzibur that was ever taught. Moshe never said it over. So therefore, some say the Rambam holds, because of that, there's no chiv of a tzibur to be present to hear the last eight psukim read, because they were not taught in a tzibur. Moshe gave it initially, like the rest of Kol HaTorah Kula. Peludik Hashitas Rambam, I'm not going to get into it. But what I want to show you from this, is we therefore see, according to the Vilna Gaon, that once you apply his principle, all the kashyas of the Gemara fall by the wayside. It's a peledik epshat, but I can tell you right now how many gedolim after the Gaon quote him as the only way of explaining this whole sugya and the whole Gemara and everything else. I mean, everybody who dealt with having to be dama shetosha, like the author of the Ksav Kabbalah, who was one of the great gedolim in Germany in the 1800s, who had to fight those who were the maskilim, those who were the apikorsim, those who were challenging biblical text and divinity, when he came to explain these last eight psukim, the pshat that he used to fight them off was the Vilna Gaon. Because the Vilna Gaon, once you start quoting the way he deals with the topic, it answers all the questions and the stiras. So you're going to argue with him? You can argue you want, but at least there is a cogent explanation of what really took place over answering the kashas I mentioned before. Now, if this is understandable to you, Rabbi Sain, and this is comprehensible to you, if you hear what I said to you, and this is the Vilna Gaon, based upon the Ramban, based upon Sifrei Kabbalah, I'm now going to tell you another Gemara, which most of you do not have in the Makaris in front of you, but it's a famous Gemara in Shas, which, when I mention the Gemara, all of you will shake your head, you've heard this before, so listen very carefully. It's a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos. You don't have it in your Makaris. The Gemara Masech the Shabbos tells us that when Moshe went up to Shemayim to Mekabel the Torah, so the first thing that happened was the Malachim started to look to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say to the Rabbeinu Shalom, this Chemde Genuza, the Heilige Torah that we have in Shemayim, you're going to give that to a human being below? I mean, that's for Malachim. It's for you, Rabbeinu Shalom. We use it as a safe of praise of the Rabbeinu Shalom. You're now going to give it to a Yulad Isha, a human being, and bring it down below. And the Gemara told us that the Malachim literally were going crazy about this. The Torah that was Kedem, Shenivra, Eilam, Atonavakish, Litna, Labas of Adam, Me'enosh, Kisiz Kerenu, Kisiv Kedenu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, Moshe, you came up to accept the Torah, I'm going to give you a job now. It's even a more difficult job than approving Kavanaugh. And what's the job? The job is Hechslam Tshuva. I want you to debate the Malachim to explain why I'm giving the Torah to you down there and not leaving it up here in Shemayim. So the Gemara tells us, Amulafan Rebbeinu Shalom, Misari Shemi Yisufuni Be'ev Shalpiyam. I'm going to debate the Malachim Rebbeinu Shalom. Let's be honest. I'm flesh and blood. These other entities, these malachim, are pure fire. I start a debate with them, they open their mouth and fire comes out of their mouth. I'm off of the efer. I'm homage dust. So how am I going to have a debate with them if I'm going to be destroyed in the debate? I don't want to even come close to these chever. I need some divine protection over here. So the Rebbeinu Shem said, don't worry. You're going to answer them, but this is what I'm going to tell you to do. Grab a hold of my kisei hakavod, and I'll spread around you the ziv hashchina, special type of divine tent to protect you from the fire emanating from the mouths of the Moshe. It means you're going to have a special divine shield protecting you. So therefore, you're not going to be nisraf. Don't worry. Moshe says, okay, as long as that's the tanaim of this debate, amuchin mezunim. But even Moshe really didn't know what the text of the Torah was yet, because it wasn't dictated to him yet. As I pointed out to you, Moshe only saw, when he went to Har Sinai initially, the Kabbalistic form of the Torah. What is it going to state in this Torah? So, Amal Afana Rabbanu Shalom, the Torah that you're going to give me, I'm bringing down, give me some psukim so I can quote the psukim to the Malachim to explain to them why you're giving it to us. So the Rabbanu Shalom starts to quote psukim from the Aseres HaDibros. Anuch Hashem Alakecha, Shosisim Eretz Rayim. So Moshe says to the Malachim, did you, Malachim, ever go down to Mitzrayim? Were you ever subjugated as Avadim by Paro? What the heck do you need the Torah for? You can't relate to that pasuk of Shibud and Avdus and such. Okay? Moshe then says to Rabbanu Shalom, give me another pasuk. So Moshe turns to the Malachim. You shouldn't have any gods before me. Do you, Malachim, live in a society where there are other gods that people worship besides the Rabbanu Shalom? In Shemayim, there's no other god but the Rabbanu Shalom. So you don't have to be confronted continuously with idolatry, that God has to forewarn you not to worship idols. You don't have a havamim to worship any other god. Now, give me another pasuk, Rabbanu Shalom. Zochzim Shabbos l'kacha. Remember the Shabbos to sanctify it. So Moshe says to the Malachim, how many of you do physical labor? How many of you do malacha? And even need time to rest, a day of rest? You never work. So what do you need a day rest for? What do you need Shabbos for? Okay. Give me another pasuk, Rabbanu Shalom. Lo sisa shem lashav. So Moshe says to them, you shouldn't swear falsely. You guys involved in business deals, you have to swear in front of a court? That God says, don't swear my name in vain? Furthermore, kabedes avicha semecha. So he says to the Malachim, do any of you have parents? You weren't created by a father and mother. What does that have to do with you? Furthermore, lo sirtzach, lo sinaf, lo signaf, keni yesh b'nechem. Is there any animosity amongst you that there's a possibility or jealousy? You're going to kill one another, hurt one another, take somebody's possessions away? Is there yetzahara b'nechem? So as soon as the Malachim heard this, they said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we now understand, God, what you're doing, and therefore we are maskim to give the Torah over to the Jews, let Moshe take it. Not only that, but even the Malachim of us with the other Malachim basically gave Moshe all different types of presents and wished him a lot of luck with Klal Yisrael, take the Torah, gezuntahayt, in fact. So the million-dollar question they ask on this Gemara is the following question. What did Moshe and Hashem do with the Malachim? Well, basically speaking, what Moshe and Hashem showed the Malachim is that you never saw the Torah Nigla I'm giving the Jews. You never saw, you never knew the mitzvahs, because it wasn't relevant to you. And that's why you were concerned. But now that you hear the text of the Torah I'm giving them, which is not the text that you have, what's your problem? So the Malachim said, Enichonami Rabbanu Shalom, you're 100% correct. So the Radvaz, Rav David Ben Zimmer, who was a North African Gadol, who lived, in fact, before the Vilna Gaon, asked a simple question. The Malachim over here, mean to say, could not figure out what Moshe and Hashem told them, that they're not, the physicality of the Torah doesn't relate to them, that Moshe and Hashem had to spell it out to them, that they were jealous, that Moshe's getting something that is only Shaykh to Malachim. So says the Radvaz the following pshat. That the only Torah the Malachim knew up until Moshe going up to Shemayim was the Torah Snista I mentioned before. Because the Torah Snista is Shemus Hashem. And what did the Malachim need that Torah for? They use it as like a Sefer Tehillim to praise Hashem based upon the names and accolades that Hashem mentioned in the Torah Sanista. So that's the only Torah they knew. When Moshe came up to receive the Torah, they thought he's getting the Torah Sanista to bring it down here. So they said to Rabbeinu Shalom, Rabbeinu Shalom, human beings can't appreciate the Torah Sanista. A malach can appreciate it. Because something that is totally incorporeal, like a malach, can appreciate Hashem who's incorporeal, and he could praise you accordingly. But a mortal man that's a bus of a dime, he's going to be able to use the prehistoric Torah to be able to relate to you. It's not possible. So that's why they were upset initially. What is a human being that they're... So I know Hashem Moshe told to Hashem, I'm not giving them the nusach of the Torah Nista, the Yom HaLachan now. I am giving them the nusach of those letters in the Torah Nigla you never saw in your life because they weren't relevant to you. And when I show you how to rewrite the Torah and reread the Torah in a Torah Nigla form, which relates to human existence, not Malachim's existence, what's your opposition? And they started calling the Sefer Dibros as examples. When the Malachim heard there's another way of reading the Torah in a Torah Nigla rather than Torah Nister, they then realized the genius what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did over here, and they said, Rabbeinu Shalom, if that's what you're giving to Moshe and to Klal Yisrael, we have no tainus. Because the same way they can't appreciate the Torah Sanister, we can't appreciate the Torah Sanigli giving them. So each group got the Torah that they are capable of using. And no longer any debate. And not only that, we're going to give them brachas, and give them chizuk, and give them the ability to survive, and to be able to, they should be matzliach with the Torah. So what's interesting is the Radvaz came to the same conclusion as the Vilna Gaon to explain this Gemara. The Malachim never knew there was a Torah Nigla possibility of the same letters. That's what Moshe and Kodesh Baruch in the debate revealed to them. And once they heard that, they backtracked. So what you see over here is two sugyas in Shas by two different Gedolim who never met each other. The Radvaz was one place, the Vilna Gaon was a different place, the Radvaz was in North Africa, and the Vilna Gaon was in Europe. Never collaborated, didn't live in really the same years, but they knew the same Maamar Chazal. And they knew about the Kabbalistic, as well as the Taras Nigla and Taras Nister. Each one used it in their own way to explain the Sugi and Shas, otherwise would be incomprehensible. What do we see from all of this? We see the genius of the Rabbeinu Shalom on a level that we cannot comprehend as human beings, that you can have the same Torah script, same exact letters, but there's a way of reading it b'teres teres nista, which we don't know, which Malachim know, and maybe Moshe was revealed that specific phenomenon. And some claim that certain mukubalim over the generations had a mesara, but nobody else did. What we are able to read, what we know, is the teres nigla, which is what we write in Achamishe Chum Shei Torah. And once you basically posit that, you now understand what the Gemara in Menachos was talking about, and you know how we answer. I'm only going to answer that. You now understand what the Gemara in Shabbos is talking about and the debate. But you now understand how holy the Torah is, because the Torah is not just Rabbi Isai, just narratives of human beings and mitzvahs and such. According to what I'm telling you now, every Sefer Torah, because it has all the letters, has beneath the surface all Shemas HaKadosh Baruch Hu from beginning to end. I want to end with one more Gemara which you don't have in front of you, but this will be the culmination of tonight's shiur. There's a very famous Gemara which all of you have heard, some from me, from other Gedolim. It's a Gemara in Masechtas Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. It's the time of Hanina ben Tradyan's death B'Kiddush Hashem by being burnt, being wrapped up in a Sefer Torah, as the Romans saw him teaching Torah publicly with the Sefer Torah he was holding. So the Gemara tells us that the Romans found him, wrapped him in the Sefer Torah, put wet cloths on his body, he should die slowly, and they literally started to incinerate him. And the Talmidim and some of his family members were watching. So the Talmidim saw he wasn't dying so quickly, Hashem didn't want him to leave so quickly. So they said to Hanina ben Tradyan, what do you see? Because they saw his eyes looking very strangely in front of them. So he says, what I see happening is Hagilyonos Nisrafim V'osios Parchas Bavir. I see the Sefer Torah that's surrounding me, that's being burnt together with me, the parchment's being burnt, but the letters are flying in the air. And what did he say? What was he telling them? So what Chazal tell him is he was giving his Talmidim a shtickl nechama. There is a physical Sefer Torah, which is the klaf and the text of the Torah. There's another Sefer Torah called the human being. The physical body is the klaf. The Tzelem Elokim, the Shemes Hashem, the Hashem gives us in our Tzelem Elokim, V'yipach Ba'apa Nishmas Chayim, is the osios of our physical human being Sefer Torah. The Ramban says in Chumash, the same way when you write the names of God in the Chumash, it's Mekadosh, the Sefer Torah, the Klaf, and gives it the Kedusha Sefer Torah. So the Ramban says, when Hashem blew V'yipach Nishmas Chayim into our bodies, the neshama that came in, like the shemas of a Sefer Torah, are mekadosh our bodies and make us into human Sifrei Torah. If you want to know how powerful that is, the Gemara says, why do you tear kriya when you see a person dying? Because they compare it to a Torah, Sefer Torah Shenisraf. When you see a Torah Shenisraf, you got to tear kriya. When a human being dies, the neshama is being torn away, or basically been nisraf from the guf, and as a result of that, you have a chiyuv kriya if you stay in b'shas yitzias and neshama. So Ramban in the Gemara Maseches Ma'akot, the Chasam Sofer says that is why there's a Gemara that says that if a Sefer Torah has a Torah mantle, the covering that becomes worn out, I can take that Torah mantle, if it's a white one, and if I have a mes mitzvah in front of me, and I don't have any clothing to put on the mes mitzvah, tachrichim, I can use the white Torah mantle as tachrichim to wrap the body around before I bury the body in the ground with the Torah mantle. So the Chasam Sofer asked the question, but how can you do that? The Gemara says in Megillah, malam v'lo maridim. The Torah mantle that maybe for 40, 50 years wrapped the Sefer Torah, you're not going to wrap to use tachrichim again on a Jewish body? So says the Chasam Sofer, there's no kasha. Because look at the Ramban I just quoted to you. The Ramban's telling you, not just symbolically, but literally, the same way the Oysef Hashem as Hashem on Makadish the Sefer Torah and give a Kedusha Sefer Torah, the Neshama Hashem plants into our body, which is a manifestation of Hashem's essence, Shemus Hashem, is Makadish our body that human beings who are Jews of Kedusha Sereach have the din of the Sefer Torah. So you're merely taking a Torah mantle, the Chasam Sofer, and taking it from a Sefer Torah, that's a physical Sefer Torah, and putting it on the body of a Jewish person who is also a Sefer Torah, Chaim and Afila Bamoso. So you're merely transferring from one Sefer Torah to another, so there's no Harada. This is Chasam Sofer, Mamashi Paskins this way. That's why he says, if a Sefer Torah is in Israel, they always collect the ashes to bury it. Why? Because there are Shemas Hashem that are there, minuscule. Every letter is a Shem Hashem, as I just mentioned to you. Every part of our body that was miskadosh with the neshama is a Sefer Torah that was miskadosh with the shemus of the Tzelem Elokim. So even a minuscule piece of the body, the Zaka finds in Eretz Yisrael, they committed to burial. It's like a Sefer Torah in Israel. So what did Rav Chanina ben Taragin say? You can destroy the physical cloth of the Sefer Torah, but the neshama, the mekadosh of the Torah, the osis, which Hashem as Hashem, are indestructible. They'll be parech ba'avir. The nimshal is, they can physically reduce my body to ashes, like the klaf of the Sefer Torah, but my neshama, my essence, my being, my tzelem elokim, it's like the osis of the Shem Hashem being parech ba'avir, they are indestructible. And therefore the Rabbi Neshalim will preserve them the same way he is going to preserve the Kedusha Shemos of the osos that are literally flying in the air from the Sefer Torah. Now that you heard tonight that every letter of the Torah in the Torah Snister, in every Chumash, is the Shemus Hashem, it even gives the Gemara more powerful meaning. But what that shows you is something else that I always tell people, that if we would consider what the Chasam Sofer and the Ramban and the Gemara just said over here, and what Chanina ben Taragin told us Tamidim, that each and every one of us is literally a walking Sefer Torah when we're alive, and even when we're dead, we're still a Sefer Torah. That's why we have a Kedushas of Sefer Torah, and that's why Chassam Sofer says they're called the Chever Kadisha, because even on a dead Jewish body, the Oisik and the Dovah Sheyesh Bo Kedusha Sefer Torah. Chever Kadisha, Oskim B'Dvarim Shebe Kedusha. So it's irony. There's Tumas Mes, but with all the Tumas Mes, the body still has Kedusha of a Sefer Torah, even B'Shas Moisai. It's a Pelulika concept. Pelulika concept. If we looked upon each and every other one, each of us as a Sefer Torah, we'd be kissing each other the whole day, because you know, you kiss a Sefer Torah, you would show covet to one another, wouldn't speak Lashon Hara upon each other. Avas Yisrael or Avas Abrias would be a different type of phenomenon, because you would realize what a human being really is, and the world would be a different place to live. So from all of this tonight, Rabbi, we see that the last eight psukim of the Torah are so profound and so powerful that that has to remind us not only the keichos of Moshe Rabbeinu, but the keichos of each and every Jew that has a nishmas selakim in him, very high level of tzelem elokim, what we possess, to realize what that means, v'nitzchios, concept of chiyas ameisim, the concept of the eternity of a human soul, and realize the comparison between that and the Sefer Torah, and realize when we carry a Sefer Torah, realize what this Sefer Torah is. It's not just a text of stories, but these are Shemus Hashem, and this text was used to create Briyat Olam. When you think of all of that, and that's what the Malachim uses, the Sefer praise to Hashem, our attitude towards each other, our attitude toward Torahs, and Bechlal to Torah and everything, has to be changed tonight by hearing this year.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.